Welcome to Steppin' Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and I'm really happy today to be speaking with Vivian Verdon-Roe. Vivian Verdon-Roe is an Academy Award-winning filmmaker, and she's gotten other awards and also for her films over the last, 20 years or something mm-hmm. like that. And she's from England and has been an activist for all these years, especially on women's issues and peace issues. Want to give the names of some of your films, Vivian, before we start talking about what we're going to talk about today, which is Seaflow, having to do with the whales and dolphins and what's going on with the sonar. And but it'd be good for people to know about some of the films you've made.
Oh, the films, two of them actually got nominated for an Oscar. One was called In the Nuclear Shadow, What Can the Children Tell Us? And the one that won the Oscar was called Women for America for the World.
And you've been involved in, are the co-founder of Seaflow for a while. How did you happen, with all the really awful things going on in the world, and this is certainly one of them, how did that particular one become the issue of the sonar and put out by the Navy mm-hmm. and the U.S. Navy, which is so killing underwater animals, basically. How did that grab your attention?
Well, you know, I actually burnt out. I was a full-on activist for 20 years and overdid it and needed to take some time out. Got quite sick, actually. I didn't have an option. Mm-hmm. And I started to spend some time winters in Hawaii. And there I got to know the whales and developed quite a relationship with these absolutely magnificent beings. And while I was in Hawaii about 4 years ago, I found out that the Navy had been using a new sonar. It's an active sonar. All the other sonars in the past have been passive sonars.
This is a laser sound?
It's a sound that goes out from these boats. They tie on the back of the boat 18 loudspeakers the size of bathtubs, and they lower that in the water, and then they send out these blasts of sound energy, these noises which have been compared to the same intensity of the space shuttle on launch. And, you know, I'm sure you know that whales, dolphins, and fish all depend on sound for their survival. They sense their world through sound, and in fact, whales' hearing is 20 times more sensitive than our own. So you can imagine what the sound sounds like to them and how it affects them. And when I heard that they'd been testing this sonar and that they were planning to deploy this new active sonar that would send out these bursts of horrendous noise globally, they're going to deploy this globally, I was horrified. And I realized I couldn't stand by and watch this happening. You know, I really encourage people when they look out in the world and see what's going on. And of course, as you say, you know, there's so many issues that you could feel depressed about. But the antidote to depression and helplessness is to get involved. And I think it's very important for people to pick the one that grabs them. And this one grabbed me. I had been out on those whale-watching boats. I had seen whales breach, you know, these incredible, huge animals rising up out of the ocean and flinging themselves in the air with their fins outstretched, like outstretched arms, and then crashing back into the ocean. And I remember my heart, when I first saw a whale do that, just leap up into my chest. And I felt such a rush of joy in my body. And there was no doubt in my mind that the whales were doing these breaches just because they were jumping for joy. So I couldn't stand the thought of these creatures being hurt. And so 2 years ago, I formed this organization with a bunch of wonderful people. I mean, you know, it's so neat. I've got this whole new social life through my civic life. And there's something about coming together and working on something meaningful that really needs you. It's almost like a power greater than your own starts to work through you. And that's what's happened to me, because I've been really very ill for quite some years. And since I got involved with SeaFlow, I feel these great bursts of energy, especially when I need to have them, when I need to go out and do an interview like this. I find this joy actually rises up in my body, and I feel there's some connection now between me and the whales. And I think all of us can really make these connections with the earth, whether it's working on the rainforests that are being pulled down and destroyed, or the ozone layer, or saving your own backyard creek from being developed. You know, I feel this is a wonderful way for us to come back to who we really are, which is creatures of the earth, part of the web of life.
Really, and I'm so glad you're saying that, Vivian Verdon-Roe, because it is so overwhelming. And I know people feel overwhelmed a lot, and a lot of people tell me, well, they'd like to hear something positive. And, of course, what's positive is that people are doing something about all these negative things. Not enough people so far.
Well, you know, the extraordinary thing, Margaret Mead said a quote, which, I mean, there's a quote from Margaret Mead that I use as my mantra, which is never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. It doesn't have to be everyone, but those of us who really have come to this understanding that we cannot go on with this dominance and control, the United States taking over the resources, basically bossing everyone else around and telling them what to do, pulling out of all the international agreements like the ABM Treaty, the Landmine Treaty, Kyoto. I mean, you know, we cannot go on like this, because our survival really depends on all nations feeling safe. It's not just a nice idea that we have to live in cooperation and harmony. It's reality. And Einstein said, you know, everything's changed with these new technologies, nuclear weapons, biological weapons, these ways in which we can obliterate ourselves very, very quickly. Everything's changed except for the way we think. And thus we drift towards unparalleled catastrophe. So it's our thinking about this. It's how we treat each other, how we treat the earth that has to change. And for me, it was this issue. And the more I found out about it, the more absolutely horrified I was. The Navy started developing LFA in the 80s, secretly and illegally. They broke a lot of federal environmental and local environmental laws to develop this system. And they were worried about the Soviets developing Quata submarines. And they want to use this in order to detect those Quata submarines underwater. Because you send out this noise, it bounces off the submarine or a whale, and then the sound waves come back, and the transmitters, the receiving transmitters also are lowered through the water, and they can pick up the sound waves. This is how it supposedly works. The problem is that not only will it kill whales and dolphins, but it actually will kill fish too. And this is something people really need to understand, because if they're not worried about the whales and dolphins, a lot of people are worried about the fish stock, which are already dwindling. As it is, the fisheries are really depleted right now. And there are many countries in the world that completely depend on fish for their survival. So this is very serious. The whole marine environment and all marine life is threatened by this system. Mm-hmm.
Well, you mess up a system like that, I mean, a balance, and you're going to have problems, and this sounds like a really major, major disturbance. I mean, to think of that whales have hearing 20 times more sensitive than humans, wow, I mean, that must just be hell and just so horrible. So does... I feel reserved about talking about the details, but we need to know them.
You know, what we're talking about is torture. We're talking about, and talk about terrorism. Can you imagine what it must be like for those animals under the water and nowhere to get away from this thing? It's like having a jackhammer in your backyard if it doesn't kill them outright. You see, there are a lot of different levels of damage that can be done. There's the catastrophic damage, which we in fact now have seen. Up until now, we haven't had the smoking gun. And then in March of 2000, there was a beaching of whales on the Bahamas. And it just so happened that on the beach where these whales beached themselves, stranded, was a marine biologist called Ken Balcom, who'd been very concerned, along with many other people in the scientific community, that every time the Navy had done these sonar exercises, not every time, but very often when they'd done these sonar exercises, whales had beached themselves. There was this coincidence happening globally for quite some time. But we'd never been able to prove that the sonar had killed the whales, because whales decompose very quickly after they die. But when these whales beached themselves on Ken Balcom's beach, he tried to save them. He pushed as many as he could back into the ocean, but some of them died. He cut off their heads, he froze them, and he took them to Harvard Medical School and had necropsies done on them. And it was proved absolutely conclusively that the sonar had killed these whales. There was hemorrhaging in the brain, there was bleeding from the eyes, and the eardrums were just burst. The tissue had seared off the bone. And the Navy and NMFS, National Marine Fisheries Service, who've given the Navy a permit to be exempted from the Marine Mammal Protection Act. They needed to get around that, and they've been given a permit exempting them from that act. And these two agencies, the Navy and the National Marine Fisheries Service, wanted to do their own study. So they took the study that was done, and they did their own study, and they came out, and they had to confess. I might say after 18 months of vigorously denying that they were responsible, but they had to admit that, in fact, this active sonar, it was mid-range in this case, had killed the whales. Now, the worrying thing about low frequency is that low frequencies travel further, and they keep their intensity for longer. So in other words, there's going to be a larger kill area. In fact, the kill area, the kill zone, will be the size of Texas around the sonar. So this is a really serious issue. We're talking about the oceans. And if one area of the ocean, as you say, if one layer, imagine all a certain kind of fish get killed by this, and they're the prey of these other fish. Well, then the other fish start to multiply overly abundantly, and then they eat the algae, which is, in other words, if one thing gets messed up, the whole ecology of the ocean could be destroyed. And, who was it? John Muir said, if you tug at one thing in nature, you find it's connected to everything else. Mm-hmm. And we've really got to learn this, because we're losing species very quickly. And we don't know what the consequences are going to be, but we do know that they're not going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. And a lot of people don't understand. Some people say, well, species are often lost. That's happening all the time. But the rate at which we're losing them is totally different than any time in history.
And it's never been caused by one species, man in this case, human beings.
Right. So you're saying that the U.S. Navy, which I'm sure is all over the world, and whether you can see them or not, underneath the waters there in the submarines, is using this sonar that kills the dolphins and the whales and all the other fish, and probably affects the plants too. I mean, as you say, everything's connected, so it affects everything. Puts it all out of balance, and ultimately affects us. Vivian Verdon-Roe, are there other countries that are also using this? Are there other militaries that are using these sonar as a medium and low frequency?
NATO's already developed it. And in fact, in 1996, there was a stranding off Greece when NATO was testing their low frequency sonar. And again, we didn't have the necropsies done, but however, there was a bioacoustic panel who studied that particular case, and they wrote it up in a very prestigious journal in England, Nature, and they said they were 99.9% sure that the low frequency had actually killed these whales. So this is something which is ongoing. What needs to happen, of course, is, and I think there's more and more understanding of this just recently, that there needs to be investigation into noise in general under the oceans, because, you know, we imagine the oceans being a very quiet place. It's no longer true. You've got trawlers, you've got seismic testing, which is these underwater explosions. You've now got these sonars. You've got a lot of noise under the ocean. In fact, in the last decade, noise under the ocean has increased tenfold. And we are seeing, you know, a lot of damage happening, a lot of these strandings, more and more strandings of whales and dolphins. And, of course, the fish stock are being depleted and the coral reefs are being destroyed. So I think there needs to be some serious study of noise in general under the ocean, and then there have to be international agreements. Because, you see, the worrying thing about this is that if we develop low-frequency active sonar, other countries will develop it. They'll follow suit. There'll be an arms race under the ocean. And can you imagine what the cumulative effects are going to be of this thing? I mean, right now we know it's just one ship is capable of killing a pod of whales. Because, you know, in the Bahamas stranding, this is what's really tragic. Ken Bolcom had been tracking those whales. And he had names for them, and every year there were 30 of them in the pod. They were Cuvier-beaked whales. They would come in to those waters every year. And the following year, no beaked whales came back. That whole pod disappeared. And what Ken Bolcom has suspected is that they, in fact, all died, even the ones that he managed to push back, that they eventually died and sank to the bottom of the ocean. Now, as I said earlier, we're not just concerned about the catastrophic effects, where the ears are exploded and the brains are hemorrhaging. We're also very concerned about the lesser damage that can be done, because, as one scientist says, a deaf whale, even if you don't kill it, you might deafen it, a deaf whale is a dead whale. They need to have their sound in order to find their food, to find their migration routes, to find their mates, and find their young.
Ooh, it's so, I mean, I really notice it myself. I just want to shut down, and I'm definitely have a better staying strength. A lot of times with these things, it's so I'm mentioning that because I know that so many people shut down, and I feel often so frustrated at the degree to which people are just not willing to face reality.
Well, do you know Joanna Macy's work? Joanna Macy's done this wonderful work called Despair and Empowerment Work. And she did it around the nuclear issue, but you can do it around any issue. It makes sense. So many of us go into such a feeling of despair that we shut down, psychic numbing. You know, we just feel too helpless to face it, to confront what's going on. And what she found was, and she's demonstrated over and over again, is that when you do express your despair, when you actually feel it, you own it, and you talk to someone else about it, preferably talk to someone else about it. That's the important part, not to just sit on those feelings. What happens is you realize you have been keeping those feelings down for a long time. And you're not just keeping down the feelings of despair, you're keeping down the feelings of joy. Because psychic numbing, that repression mechanism, doesn't discriminate. So you're keeping all your strong feelings down. And what happens is this passion, this real affirming juice, this love of life starts to come up in your body, and you feel energized. And usually, if you're talking to other people who you've all been sitting around talking about how despairing you are about this, it's catching, and everyone starts to feel it. And it is as though, it's almost as though the earth itself, or the oceans itself, or these other species themselves, their energy is coming through you. It's almost like you are now going to be the spokespeople for the oceans, for the rainforests. And it's just an extraordinary process. So I really encourage people, if they're feeling really despairing about this, to be sure to talk to other people about it. We have a 10-minute videotape, which is very, very good on this issue. And one thing we've been recommending to people is to get the videotape for it. We send it to people for a donation of $10. And show it to their friends. And that's a very good way to start. And you can talk about how this makes you feel. To see that this is happening to our oceans, to our beautiful whales and dolphins.
And to us, ultimately.
And to us, ultimately. And then, right there and then, you can write your letters. And I really want to encourage people to write letters, to fax, to phone call. Emails aren't as good. Emails are great for telling other people about this issue and asking them to write and make phone calls. But, you know, I was on a radio station a couple of weeks ago, and I told people to call and fax Dianne Feinstein. She's a very important person in California. She's a senator in California, because she has a lot of power. She's on the Appropriations Committee, and they could cut the funding. You've got to look for where this could be stopped. Mm-hmm. And Congress is where it could be stopped, because they could cut the funding. So I said, if there's just one thing you do, call or fax Dianne Feinstein. And we got a call from a listener after the program saying, do you know, I called and I was told that the office was being deluged. They wanted to know what was happening. And then we called her office and said we wanted to have a meeting with Dianne Feinstein, and we've got it. And I'm sure it was a result of this so-called deluge. I was thinking about it. What do you think a deluge was? I wouldn't mind betting it was like 10 or 15 phone calls, mm-hmm. you know? And I do know that the aides, when they are calculating how many phone calls, how many letters are coming in, they count a letter or a fax for 250 people. They reckon 250 constituents feel the same as you do, but haven't bothered to phone in, or to write in. And a phone call is counted as 150 people. Mm-hmm. So this is a very powerful way of expressing yourself and making a difference. So I want to encourage people to, if you know who, I hope you know who your senator and your congresspeople are. If you don't, you can look that up in the front of your phone book. And then the Capitol switchboard, and they'll put you through to whoever you want to talk to, is 202, area code 202-224-3121. So that's the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121.
Okay, and we can give that number again at the end of the program, which isn't too far away, so stay tuned if you didn't catch it.
Let's also give the phone number for CFLOW. That's the organization that's working absolutely specifically on this issue, stopping the noise bombardment of our oceans. And CFLOW's number, and I want you to call if you want to get that 10-minute videotape. We can send that to you. We can also give you information, and also you can go to our website. So the phone number is 415-454-4443. That's
415-454-4443. Okay, Wen, we're going to give those again. Like I say, we'll repeat them, so we'll have a few minutes to get your pencil and paper ready. So Vivian Verdon-Rowe is... What's happening internationally? Are there other countries that are talking about these issues? Do you know these issues of sonar and the killing of whales and dolphins and sea life?
Actually, there's not been very many people involved on this issue at all. Possibly it's because, certainly in this country, it was developed in secret. And it was only in the mid-90s that the Natural Resources Defense Council, they're a wonderful organization, a national environmental organization that has been active on this. Then we do the grassroots organizing. They're doing the lawsuit. They actually have filed a lawsuit last week, and... hopefully, they will get an injunction. That would be fantastic. Basically, what that would mean is that the Navy would not be able to go ahead and deploy this system until the lawsuit was through. I don't think the lawsuit in of itself can actually stop LFA sonar, because the Navy can always, you know, wave the flag of national security. We have to have this. I think the only thing that really can stop it is Congress. Congress cutting the funding, which is why those letters and phone calls are so, so important. Mm-hmm. Every one of those will count for a lot of people, so it's really important people do that. In this country, the Natural Resources Defense Council have been really great, and their website is good. You can go to their website, and you can send a letter by email. It's already written for you, and all you have to do is sign it. So I'd like to give their website. I hope people have got their pens and paper by now.
Yeah, and of course, I guess you should print this out and send it, because you were just saying earlier, and I've heard other people say too, that it's much better to send hard copy than email.
Yes, I think it's much better. Actually, these days, fax is probably the best, because some people aren't opening their mail because of the anthrax scare still. They're very slow on opening mail. So actually, fax is probably the best now. But, you know, if all you've got is 2 minutes and you want to just push a button, then, you know, by all means, something's better than nothing. Mm-hmm. The website for NRDC, which is Natural Resources Defense Council, is www.nrdc.org. seaflow.org. And if you want more information on Seaflow, and I really encourage you to get in touch with us because we'll help you start your own Seaflow little chapter or pod, as we call them, in your own area.
And are there some of those around the United States as we speak?
They're very active in Hawaii, and that's, of course, where the whales are. This issue tends to be, so far, paid attention to by people who live on the coast in the United States because, you know, these creatures are our neighbors. They're part of our community. But we really do need to get people across the country writing. We need to make it a national issue. So people who are listening and are concerned, who live in the United States, I would love to see them write their emails to their friends, give a little information. You could get the information off Seaflow's website. That's www.seaflow.org. You can go there, just find a little bit of information to tell your friends about what's going on. But, you know, you don't need to be an expert to really put this out. It's pretty obvious. This is an incredibly loud, active sonar. It's been shown to kill whales and dolphins. We have our smoking gun. That was the Bahamas in the year 2000. And it needs to the funding needs to be cut for it. That's basically it.
Right. And it's done by the military, which is basically the job of which is, in my opinion, to kill.
Well,
they say it's defense, but anyway, that's 'cause a whole other show, but that's what I think.
And the other part of this, which I think is so important, is that the whales are the canaries in the coal mine, that this really does affect fish too. We're talking about the whole marine environment. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge issue.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Okay, well, now we really are getting to the end, and it's time to get to, did you want to give, oh, the Capital Switchboard.
Switchboard again. Call Capital Switchboard 202-224-3121, and you could get the fax numbers for your congresspeople and senators, or you could just talk to the aide right there and then. And then CFLO's phone number is 415-454-4443, and you can call us to get that 10-minute videotape and information from us. Mm-hmm. And then our website again is www.seaflow.org.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Vivian Verdon-Rowe, for your good works and putting out the word about this issue of sonar killing whales, dolphins, and sea life, which, you know, if, as we say, affects all of us. We're all in this web of life. And thank you very much for listening. My name's Sue Supriano.